Okay, we're in Heavenly Places. Page 122. Its title is Trust When You Have Failed. And it's April 25th. And for those of us that are dealing with trust issues or backsliding and stuff like this, I'm assuming just by the title, this may be a blessing. So, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 is where it's starting off, and it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say here, let me scroll up a little bit here. It says, in order to fight successfully in the battle against sin, you must keep close to Jesus. Do not talk unbelief. You have no excuse for doing this. Unbelief always separates the soul from Christ. And, I mean, that's pretty plain and pretty blunt, and most of us do realize that, but a lot of people forget it. You know, like, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. Actually, I kind of did that backwards. It's, well, it's ask, seek, and then knock. And, but without having faith or trust, I mean, he was dealing with me with this the other day, too. I was asking him some questions in regards to some of the things that I've seen over the years and some of the things that some of the brethren have seen over the years because, you know, a lot of times, this is one of the reasons I didn't want to be a pastor years ago, you know, and I, you know, it's just the Lord's will. I'll do whatever he asks. I'm not going to complain. But, you know, praying for others, and you know they come up in your prayers a lot and stuff like that, and you know what they're going through, and it's, you know, it's not easy sometimes to think about it because you know you've gone through it or I've gone through, we've all gone through certain things together, and I always used to a lot of times it has to do with our lack of faith, you know, not trusting him, just plain, you know, asking him. It's kind of like, it reminds me of King David after, well, maybe she'll even get into this, I don't know, I hope so, but after the baby died, Bathsheba's baby, the first one, because of what he did, you know, with Uriah and all that, killed her husband and all, and I always think about it, and even Nathan came up and had a little bit of a question in regards to that. He says, okay, while the baby was sick, you're laying there, you're praying and praying and fasting and fasting and praying and praying, and now the baby's up. And you think, a prophet's asking this question? You don't get this? But I think it had to be asked so it could be penned. I'm thinking, because a prophet, I aren't going to be that stupid. But it had to be penned. It had to be said in the Word so that we could see this. And he says, okay, you know, the baby's sick, and you're praying and fasting. The baby's dead. You jump up. Now you're eating. Everything's fine. And the way David answered it is just amazing. It was like, you know, what if the Lord changes his mind? This is why I'm praying and fasting. I'm praying for this kid. I, you know, but now once his will has been done, can I bring the kid back? No. I have to be settled in my father's will, and I move on. And like, get up, dust yourself off, get back to work. Kind of a thing. And so she goes on to say, it is not praiseworthy to talk of our weakness and discouragement. Let each one say, I am grieved that I yield to temptation, that my prayers are so feeble, my faith so weak. I have no excuse to plead for being dwarfed in my religious life, but I am seeking to obtain completeness in Christ. I have sinned, and yet I love Jesus. I have fallen many times, and yet he has reached out his hand to save me. I have told him about all my mistakes. I have confessed with shame and sorrow that I have dishonored him. I have looked to the cross and have said, all this he suffered for me. The Holy Spirit has shown me in my ingratitude, my sin in putting Christ to open shame. He who knows no sin has forgiven my sin. He calls me to a higher, nobler life, and I press on to the things that are before. And this also reminds me of the 1,011-day thing, when me, my wife, and our many children were living in this up, you know, this two-bedroom kitchenette kind of a thing. And I think one of the reasons we were there so long is, the main reason, I think it was my fault. Because Granny ain't a complainer. None of my kids are, which is amazing. Some of them can go through some of the craziest things, and they don't whine, at least that I can think of. Well, maybe, you know, when they're younger, but, you know, when they get older, they usually grow out of that. But I never seemed to have, at least back then. And, I mean, I would constantly say something to this effect. Yeah, I says, yeah, I'm going through a trial right now. I'm being tested by the Lord. I know it's good, but I don't have to like it. And I would complain, and I would, you know, have a mean attitude. I would be angry. I'd be upset, and I'd be depressed, or I'd be this, or I'd be that. And I wasn't reflecting Christ very well. I wasn't going through the trial with a smile. And that's around the time he taught me about going through the trial with a smile. Because from that day on, that's all I tried to do from that, you know, and even preach it. Yeah, but there's still times that I would mess up, but I kind of like to do that in private. Get on my knees and weep and not let anybody else, just between him and I, you know. But still, the only reason it dragged out as long as it did is because I wasn't a very good witness. I wasn't learning my lesson. You know, it's kind of like the Pharisees going around fasting with their faces drawn down. Hey, look what I'm going through. Check it out. You know, it's kind of like what I was feeling like. But at the same toss of the coin, it was like, I wish it was over. I didn't want to advertise it. But then maybe subconsciously I did. Say, look, he's spanking me. He loves me. Thinking back, I think it was mostly because I just didn't like what I was going through. I didn't appreciate it. I wasn't trusting him. As she says here, we should be doing. She goes on, she says, the humility that bears fruit, filling the soul with a sense of love, of the love of God, will speak for the one who has cherished it in the great day when men will be rewarded according as their works have been. Happy will be the one of whom it can be said, the Spirit of God never stirred this man's soul in vain. He went forward and upward from strength to strength. Self was not woven into his life. Each message of correction, warning, and counsel he received as a blessing from God. Amen. Thus, the way was prepared for him to receive still greater blessings, because God did not speak to him in vain. And this also reminds me of the many times that the spanking repeated. And that's when he revealed to me, and says, you know, if you're not going to get this, you're going to have to go through it again, you know, until you get it. It's just like with a weightlifter. Until you can get that weight lifted, you're going to have to keep trying with the smaller weights until you get there. With anything else in life, too. Any kind of, you know, trial in life, whether it's secular or spiritual. And when I thought about that, I thought, well, I don't want to go through this again, so please, Father, yes, send the test, send it quickly. I want to pass it. I want this over with. And I to this day, I do that. Like when I mess up, like if I get angry or if I say something I shouldn't or I think something I shouldn't or I do something I shouldn't, whatever trial I fail, I always say, Father God, I'm sorry. You know my heart. Please, please test me again. But before you do so, could you please remind me you're doing this test? Because I have a tendency to forget things short term sometimes. And he does. He'll remind you. And it's really amazing the way he will remind you. Yeah, because if I had to rely on my brain, forget about it. I mean, I remember when I tried to, you know, I mean, I got pretty good photographic memory when it comes to long-term stuff, but sometimes the short-term stuff, I don't know, it just seems to slip away a little bit too quickly. And none of that stuff seems to work. I guess maybe if you took it daily for years, you know, like the ginkgo biloba stuff, maybe it would work. I don't know. But I'd rather trust him, especially with John 14:26. He says he's going to remind me of all the things that he said to me anyway, so I'm going to run with that. And I've seen that happen many times on the street where I didn't know where that verse was. He told me where it was or what it said. But the thing with ginkgo biloba is, or any other kind of natural method for trying to heal the brain to make it remember better, here's the big issue with that. You're going to forget to take it. At least that was my problem. You know, I kept trying to do the ginkgo biloba, but I kept forgetting to take it. And so, you know, you got to get into a routine, I guess. You got to make a habit. Like if you do something, I think, what is it, like 7 times in a row, and then it becomes a habit? Same thing with a bad habit. You stop doing it 7 times in a row, it's going to be gone. You know. So anyway, she goes on to say that each step upward on the ladder of progress prepared him to climb still higher. From the top of the ladder, the bright beams of God's glory shone upon him. He did not think of resting, but sought constantly to attain the wisdom and righteousness of Christ. ever he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what we need to strive on to. We need to strive on to that perfection, to have that divine nature, so that we can be part of the Gideon band. Otherwise, we're going to have to take a nap before we get home. We'll still get home, for those of us that don't backslide or anything like that, but if we're not striving further and further, it's just like that, I was talking to that brother the other day in from Montana that I spoke of before we started the recording. And he sent me those statements from Sister White in regards to some of the people that are part of our number that aren't striving to better their walk. They, you know, they're still going to make it home as long as they're faithful to the walk they're standing in. But nine times out of ten, they're going to have to die to get there. Well, 10 times out of 10, they're going to have to die to get there. You know, whether it's a martyr's death or some strange disease or an accident or whatever the case may be, however the Lord decides for them to go to sleep, they're going to take a nap, just like with the people before the flood hit in Noah's day. There were a lot of people that were worthy enough to get onto that ark, but there wasn't enough room for them, and plus they weren't capable of enduring, as Noah and his family was, obviously. Anyway, she finishes by saying, this experience everyone who is saved must have. So amen and amen. Home, pray you're blessed.